This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
This segment brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale. They take care of all your cash register needs. If you're having issues with cashiers, you can go self-checkout, 800-540-2149. Just give them a call. They'll come to your location, take a look, see if there's what they can do with their system and your system. And trust me, you'll be totally pleased when you get the results. So give them a call again. That's 1-800-540-2149. All right. Also, Alpha Site Logistics, serving the Imperial Valley for over 20 years. They offer portable toilets, hand wash stations, hand wash trailers, shade trailers, dumpsters, and a whole lot more. Call them at 760-352-8383. Get a quote for your next desert event. So, Ed, you know, we were talking that there's been some more legislation signed. And actually, wasn't there a celebration as well? What, 50 years of?
So state parks just turned 50 years old. Not the whole big state parks, okay, but the off-road vehicle portion of state parks turned 50 years old. And they had a celebration.
You mean we survived 50 years? Oh my God. Is that what you call it, really?
You know what's funny about that is the program was started with a sunset. A five-year sunset.
Really?
And every 5 or 10 years for the last 50 years, it had to have been reauthorized. And every time we have to reauthorize it, the environmentalists would come in and screw with us.
As much as they could.
And they really would try stuff.
Do you notice it being more severe with this administration than the past, or is it just basically the same people trying every year?
So the last reauthorization was 2017.
Okay.
Okay, and so Brown was still governor then.
Right.
And that was a hard one. So I had been involved in the 2007 reauthorization, and it was hard. It was really hard.
Have any of them been easy?
I've only been involved in two, but I think
neither one.
Like,
of
if
them
we could get Bob Hamm on the call, he would tell us some war stories.
Yeah.
So it's my understanding that it's always been hard. So the 2007 was a very tough run, and we had to reauthorize it. Mm-hmm. So in 2016, I knew it was coming. I knew it was going to be hard, so I decided to take action into my own hands. So I wrote a grant request to Polaris asking for money to hire a lobbyist to help with reauthorization. That was for SDRC.
Right.
And then I also wrote a grant request to Yamaha for the same thing for Corva.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to pool the money and hire a lobbyist and help.
Yeah.
There's another off-road lobbyist who's a good guy, but I don't know if he gives his whole heart and soul to this
like
work.
Like the lady we have now.
So yeah, Kathy is the one we have now. She's fabulous. So in 2017 or late 2016, I got the Polaris grant, and I got some money from the guy that owns Boardmanville.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lance Rakota.
Uh-huh.
And then SDRC put in some money, and we were able to hire somebody, Kathy Lynch. I met her at a Fish and Game Commission meeting. I was there because of the flat-tail horned lizard.
Right. She wasn't even doing off-road.
No, she didn't do any off-road, but she was helping a hunting group.
Right.
Right, so she kind of thinks our way, if you know what I mean.
Well,
so
yeah.
Whether
you're walking through the woods or you're taking your bike or dune buggy through the desert, it's the same thing.
It's like we want to have access. We want to do things. And these things we want to do, if they're well managed, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And as far as poorly managed or just people going crazy, well, that's just a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. We are helping. So in 2017, we hired Kathy Lynch, and she did a fabulous job for us. Like, just a great job, more than we could have imagined.
Mm-hmm.
And when she went to work, I asked her to help and work with all of the off-road organizations.
Sure.
So everybody got to know her and like her. And then the people from Corva and the people from the American Sand Association, they joined in with us after, and we put her on retainer. So the three organizations have had her. We're paying her monthly, thousands of dollars per month, for the last 4 years, going on 5 years now. Wow, that's amazing. And she's going to be in Vegas in 2 weeks. I'm going to Vegas because she was nominated for an award through the Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame. They have the induction, and then they have the Impact Awards. And the Impact Awards are not as prestigious as being inducted. Being inducted is a big deal.
Well, just being nominated.
There's four inductees, and there's 25 or 30 Impact nominees. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of nominees, and there'll be like, I think there's five categories. I forget them all. I could work my way through.
Sure.
But anyway, advocacy is one of the categories. And so she, and then another guy, Jared, who's been on the show before, he was also nominated. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. I'm excited to go. And it looks like I'll be showing her around, walking with her. Mm-hmm. Amy is having foot surgery, and Bob is had a pacemaker installed. He may be there. We'll see how he does.
Yeah, otherwise you're it.
I may be, the only one.
You have to get a tuxedo.
Oh, my God. You know what? Last time I went,
When was the last time you had a tuxedo?
I don't know if I ever.
Do you even own a tuxedo?
Do you have
a tie?
I have an orange tie.
Oh, my God.
I know what you're thinking, but orange is the off-road vehicle activist color. It was chosen to contrast green.
Then you need an orange suit.
So I have like a nice suit, and then I put on an orange tie.
Okay.
Looks a little odd, but
totally.
That's part of our thing. So State Parks is 50 years old. It's been reauthorized all these times. And when they reauthorize it, you start with the legislation from before, and you make changes if you want, and then you find someone to carry it. So the last time we tried, or we figured out what we wanted to do to improve the program.
Mm-hmm.
We were shopping for a legislator to carry the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And then another legislator introduced that same bill, but brought by an environmental group with a lot of bad stuff in it.
Mm.
And we were like, oh my God. And
here we go again.
I had been pushing, the whole state had a coalition of people working on it. And I was really pushing them. We got to get this thing introduced. We got to go. So they beat us. They had all their garbage in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be hard. And it was hard. You know, you get to a committee, right? And that's where you can make amendments.
Sure.
And they were like, no, we like it how it is. And then State Parks would get involved because they're the agency who is being, this legislation is steering
their. The one to implement
it. Yeah, it's all about them.
Right.
So they would come in and they say, well, this is difficult and this is difficult. So towards the end of the legislative program or cycle, Bob Hamm, Amy Granite, Kathy Lynch, who's our lobbyist,
mm-hmm.
and some people in State Parks, they all got together and said, this is what we really want.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote all that down and they gave it to the committee. The committee said, okay.
Oh, really?
And we got the bill radically changed. We pulled the garbage out. We put the good stuff in.
Right.
There's a few things we didn't like, but for the most part, we did great.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get it all. I mean, if you don't leave a little dirt in there, then
so not only did we get rid of the garbage, we get some good stuff in, but the sunset was removed on 2/3 of the program, which was just fabulous.
That's huge.
So the program and the grant program, so like the SVRAs and the people in Sacramento, and then the grant program, they got reauthorized and no sunset, which is fabulous. The third component is the commission. So there's an off-road vehicle commission, and those people are up there, and they're a couple of things. They're the go-between the general public and the state parks government agency.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a problem with a state park, you can call a commissioner and say, can you help me solve this problem?
Mm-hmm.
And they do that, and I've worked with them for that.
And that works out well?
That can work out well. Wow. It doesn't always, but it can. And then the other thing they do is they approve general plans for the state vehicular recreation areas.
Mm.
That's kind of a big deal.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break because this is really interesting news. 50 years old, and we don't even have a cake. All right. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You are listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by Wayne Miller Tire. Wayne Miller Tire is located out in, I don't know, Lakeside/Santee, right next to the drive-in. Handles all your tire needs, whether it's your vehicle, your truck, your semi, your tractor trailer, your road grader. Makes no difference. Roadside assistance, just go to www.waynemillertire.com. Give them a call. Tell them thank you very much for supporting SDORC Dirt Radio. And he will truly take care of all your tire needs. And he does general repair as well. So you can make it a one-stop shop. All right, we got Ed Stoven in the house today. Audrey and Nicole decided at the last moment not to come in today. So we will have to chat with them next week. But we were just kind of semi-celebrating without a cake the 50th anniversary of the National Park Association. Which, if you've not been to a park...
That's state parks.
State parks, I'm sorry.
It's California State Parks Off-Highway Vehicle Division.
Right.
And they actually, a few years back, they sort of closed down the division and merged it with the state parks.
Oh, gotcha.
But it's still its own separate thing in there.
Right. Yeah, well, Ed and I were talking off-air about putting together... We should be putting together... I know you guys do your Lost Lizard Run, which is fine.
It's in a couple weeks, yeah.
It's coming up November 16th.
13th.
Or 13th. But I just went to the San Diego Automotive Museum gala last night. My wife went to the gun prom last night. And that's what we need to do. Because if the off-road community, and we talked about it off-air, the McMillans of the world, the people that really, Roger Normans of the world.
There is a lot of money in there.
Yeah, but and if they see what we're trying, because they don't know what we're doing. They really don't know what we're doing.
There's problems that develop that you can nip them in the bud, or you can wait till the closed sign comes out and it's super hard to fix. If you can nip it at the bud, you can really save a lot of trouble later on.
Just to give an example, the Hoens were involved last night in the automotive
with
show.
The dealer.
So they contacted the Porsche driving experience.
The people Porsche driving
experience? Yeah. And people were spending $10,000. Dollars to go to this event
to drive a
yeah
a
just
Porsche.
To go up to LA and drive on the course. Then this other one they had is an Italian trip. Oh my God, $11,000 for 6 days in this Italian wherever, and people were throwing money at it left and right. So I think the off road community needs to really consider. I mean, I think the Lost Lizard Run is huge. I think it's extremely important. But you got to have a one, and what you need it for are lobbyists and fighting the government.
I would love to hire a federal lobbyist.
Yes.
I think that would be,
that'd be huge.
a big improvement for our situation.
Yeah, either that or you got to retire.
Most California off-road vehicle use takes place on federal land.
Right.
The National Forest and the Bureau of Land Management. Yeah. There is state parks.
Yeah,
we have nine SVRAs.
Yeah.
But if you just look at... how much land, where the people go, where the trails are, most of it is national.
Right.
And then you might remember a few years back, the lead ban,
that
the consumer safety, the federal group, they said, well, anything that has lead in it, kids can't go on.
Right.
So way deep inside these mini bikes and ATVs, like where the cable end connects, there's a little bit of lead in it.
Yeah.
So now kids can't have an ATV.
Well, I remember
that was
when
a federal problem.
All the bike stores had to box up all of their kids' bikes and quads and all that and couldn't sell them.
So that was a federal problem, and we didn't have a federal lobbyist working on
it. To battle it.
So we need a federal lobbyist, somebody who can be get inside of these agencies and go, hey, is there anything going on that's going to bother us? So they can help with the National Forest, with the Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Right.
They can help us with the EPA, because the EPA could crack the whip, like, okay, we're not going to allow any of this, whatever this is.
But if you don't have a lobbyist to do it, no one's going to listen.
I mean, I'm here in San Diego, and Washington, D.C. is very far away.
Yeah, it's down the road a piece.
It's very far. It's very hard, and I don't know my way. Even if I was there,
you
I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I think we need to think.
I'm not in Sacramento, but Kathy, she sure knows her way around the Capitol up there, and she knows people all over the place.
Wow.
What do you see? Dave's looking at his phone.
Yeah, well, I'm just, for some reason, Brittany wanted to call in. Well, Brittany's not an off-roader, and she's doing something else, but that's another story.
Oh, well, I like the name.
So
State Parks had a little celebration last Saturday, at Hungry Valley State Vehicular Recreation Area.
Yeah.
And all the bigwigs were there. We all got to, and all of the people like me, the activists, the people who are trying to help. So it was really kind of a warm fuzzy. They had some different people speak. And for the hour, a couple hours beforehand, we walked around and chit-chatted.
Right.
So that was really nice. I looked at the general plan for Hungry Valley, and the guy in charge of the place was there, and we chit-chatted about it a little bit. Nick Harris was there. He's the American Motorcycle Association Western States representative. So he's a friend. We're both motorcycle guys. So it's nice to rub shoulders with these guys. There were some notable people that weren't there, which is kind of a bummer, but it was fun. I got to ride my Husky around the park a little bit, and they have good trails. Can we, let's see, we got 5 minutes.
Yeah, we got time.
Let's talk about the Rebel before we, you want to put on an interview?
Well, I've got an interview I did with Ford Motor Company, and they entered 3 vehicles in the Rebel, and unfortunately, I was supposed to do this interview last Friday, but I wasn't able to, you know, get back home in time to do it, so the update was really almost a week old. But it's interesting. They took,
were they all on Broncos?
A full-size Bronco, and then I think a couple of, or 2 full-size Broncos and a Bronco Sport. And the Sport actually was in first place for a while.
Wow.
So it's really a cool interview. I mean, Ford has just really stepped to the plate. I mean, to enter 3 brand new vehicles, I mean, that's pretty huge.
A girlfriend of mine bought a Bronco, and I don't know which model, but she's driven it across country. And she loves it.
Oh, I know.
Because you said you're not a Ford guy particularly, but you really were impressed with the Bronco that you had.
I did. I really, really was.
I was surprised to hear that.
I would buy that. I would buy the it was called the Black Diamond.
Oh.
It had the steel wheels. I mean, it wasn't anything.
That's like the reference to skiing?
Yeah.
That it's capable of the hardest terrain?
Yeah. No, I think it's an awesome vehicle, and I think Ford, you know, by entering 3 vehicles in the Rebel is totally the right thing to do.
That shows a real commitment to that vehicle and the promotion of it.
Right.
And it's good for just the sport of off-roading.
Because
these women are out there hammering that thing.
Exactly. And these were all bone stock. None of these were modified.
Really?
None of them had updated a suspension. It's just, they were exactly the way you get it from the dealer.
I'd like to hear from the girls how the vehicle handled it. Do they like it stock?
Well,
you know what I mean? Because you can always modify stuff, but does it need to be modified?
I don't think so, but I'm going to set up an interview with them because they're back now. They're all back in town. So I'm really looking forward to reaching out to them and get a feel on what they thought. You know, from a stock point of view, who we're going to be talking to is Jovina Young. She's the Bronco Sport manager, and you know, and it was a 3-2 women team, let's see, Shelby Hall, who I've interviewed before, and Penny Dale had a Bronco Sport, and then we'll just wait and then we'll run that interview, but Jovina, she's so. It's so funny, too, because I think she ran it last year. I go, oh, you're not running it again this year? She said, it's tougher than you think.
Oh, I think they get up really early before the sun.
Yeah.
And they're driving hard all day.
All day. Looking for, interesting.
Looking for ghosts.
Well, first, the lowest points you can score is a flag.
Right.
The second highest is a piece of rebarb that's painted on the end of it. And the third, which is the highest points you can score, is nothing.
It's a ghost. It's strictly a mark on the map.
It's strictly and a mark on the map.
There's a digital
latitude
signal
and longitude.
There. And I understand that if you're within a certain distance of that exact spot, you hit your clicker and you'll get the points.
Exactly.
But if you're like, say, 20 yards away, 50 yards away, you think you're there, you hit the clicker, you don't get the points.
And I'd be interesting to find
out. They're collecting
out.
Points, right? This is a competition where you try to get the most points by going to all the checkpoints.
Right. Well, this is why I was hoping Audrey would come in, because there was, and Nicole, because there was a lot of questions that I'd like to answer, just because. Because, you know, you're right. I mean, when you say, when you hit that, the imaginary dot, do you have to be right on top of it? Do they give you a window of opportunity?
Yeah,
and then I'm
going
to reach out to Emily Miller, who actually puts this program on.
Mm-hmm.
And
it'd be nice to hear from her.
Yeah,
maybe we can get her for a segment.
She's a sweetheart. If you met her, you would not in a million years think that she was a hardcore off-roader.
I actually have met her at the Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame.
But you'd never know she was.
It's funny. She was with Jimmy Lewis.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Lewis is an old professional motorcycle racer.
Uh-huh.
He got a third in the Dakar Rally.
Wow.
And he's the one who figures out where to put the checkpoints for this event. So he spends a lot of time out in the desert hammering rebar and looking around and with the maps.
And then you got to, I mean, and that in itself seems difficult from my mindset, because, you know, you started, they started at Hoover Dam and then they worked their way to Glamis. Well, okay, so he probably used GPS and all that, you know.
Well, yeah, they're allowed to use all the tools.
Just to set the
so
the
he's got the, yeah, so he's, he has all the tools available to him.
Right.
And then they go back and they figure out how they're going to give it to the girls.
Right. Well, it's funny. I was talking to a few ladies at the Automotive Museum last night about the Rebel. And when I told them what it was all about, I didn't have one person say no except me. Because I said, there is no way you're putting me out in the middle of the desert with a paper map and a compass.
Oh,
would you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I could do that.
I mean, I lead rides yesterday.
Well,
I was,
you've been lost your whole life.
We parked at Painted Gorge, and we rode. I almost ran out of gas. I was on my 450, which has a much smaller tank than my older 501.
Oh, wow.
And we rode to the top of this mountain. We were so far out there, and I thought, you know, I haven't checked my gas in a while. And
how'd you get back?
I pulled into somebody's camp, and I said, can I buy a gallon of gas from you?
Mm.
And they said, no, we'll just give it to you.
Oh, that was nice.
So they gave
me
some
gas. Off-roaders. Yeah. Isn't that what the off-road community is all about?
I mean, I would never turn someone down if I
didn't
have to.
I'll tell you a good out-of-gas story when we take a break. You are all listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
The segment is brought to you by PRMI Mortgage. PRMI Mortgage, located up in Alpine. Chris Wiley is amazing. All you have to do is just Google PRMI Mortgage. Tell Chris you heard it right here on SDORC Dirt Radio. Be more than happy to help you out, especially if you're in the military. VA loans, reverse mortgages, whatever you need when it comes to home financing. He can definitely hook you up. I was going to do a reverse mortgage, and he told me, nah, be a waste of money for you. You're done so well making your payments and adding a little extra every month. He says, no, don't bother. So I said, all right, so there goes my race car. Hey, did an interview with Jovina Young. She's the Bronco Sport Marketing Manager from Ford Motor Company. Sit back. Now, this is a week old. The race wasn't over until last night, but this is a week old, but at least you'll get an update and some of the things that they had to do to make this happen. Take a listen.
All right, folks. Hey, well, y'all know about the Rebel Rally and all those young ladies, 52 entrants out there traversing the desert, going here, there, and everywhere. And I got Jovina Young on the line. And wouldn't you know it, her girl is in one of her girls are in first place in a Broncos Sport. How cool is that?
It's pretty awesome. We love the Rebel Rally. And this year we have three teams entered in the Rebel for the Bronco team. We've got the Bronco Sport, and that is with we've got Melissa Fisher and Cora Jokinen, who have been Rebel veterans in the past, and they are currently in first place. So we're stoked for that. And then in the 4x4 class, we have two Broncos competing. We have Team 150, which is Shelby Hall and Penny Dale. And they actually competed for us last year in the X-Cross class and won in a Bronco Sport. So they're competing this year with us in a two-door Bronco. And then we also have Team 131 with a team from Four Wheel Part competing, Victoria Bundrant and Catherine Reinhardt. This is their rookie year. So they're currently in 24th. They're hanging in there, especially as rookies. I know what that feels like. So nice to see them still hanging on and going strong.
Well, everybody, you all need to know, this is with a paper map and a compass. I had Team 149, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Dirt Radio, come into the studio, and Nicole, who ran it in 2017, she brought the actual map and tools that these girls are going to use. And there is no way you'd get me out there trying to do what they're doing. I don't care if you do have a Michelin five-star chef feeding them every night. There is no way I can do that.
It is tough. And I can speak from personal experience. I competed last year as a novice. I'd never done anything like this before, and I actually never off-roaded before and decided to enter myself into this rally. And it is tough. It is hard. You're learning how to read topography. You're trying to, it feels like you're trying to find a needle in a haystack as you're looking for all these checkpoints. But it is a great competition, and you're pushing yourself, you're pushing the vehicle, and you're pushing each other to the limit. So I really enjoyed it, and I know these women work super hard throughout the entire rally.
Well, it ends this Saturday, correct?
It does. It's the actual competition last day. I think it ends like tonight. Tomorrow is the last full off-roading competition day. And then Saturday there are additional kind of skills assessment tests that occur at the camp. But the last day of off-roading is tomorrow.
Right. And ladies, I highly recommend, if you're kind of an adrenaline junkie, that you do this. Now, our team used their own vehicle. Audrey actually went out and bought a Jeep just so she could compete with this. And I painted the hell. I bought helmets for them and had them all decorated up for the radio show, the whole nine yards. But every once in a while, there's a lot of video going on, you know, when they do it. And she's been interviewed a couple times and happy and bubbly. Me, I'd be a mess.
Yeah, I guess if I think about what I was doing, it's catch me at the right time, right? Like there are times throughout that I was extremely happy. I just found a checkpoint. I can't believe I did it. And then it literally an hour later, you could be at your lowest of low. Like you could be at a place where I have been searching for this. I cannot find it. I swear it's got to be right here. I swear it should be here, but it's not. Where am I? I'm lost.
Well, and what a lot of people may not know, there's three checkpoints. There's a flag, which low points. Then there's a piece of painted rebar, which is a little bit or higher points. And then there's nothing. It's coordinates. And those are the highest points. I cannot wait to hear, because the girls are going to be coming in. We're going to do radio, of course, this Sunday live, and that's what the whole hour will be on, is the experiences and the craziness the event itself. But I think this is a smart move for Ford you know, to bring in their newest vehicle, because you're not going to get any better testing than you will with an event like this. Don't you agree?
Totally. You know, for us, we're entering three vehicles in the bone stock competition, right? So we did not modify the vehicles. You're doing this entire rally in stock, you know, you've got the stock factory wheels, you've got the stock, you know, lift that you've got on there. And we haven't added anything additional to the vehicles other than, like, you know, we're going to add something to hold the, some of the accessories on there, like your off-road recovery boards, as an example. But large, like, the entire vehicle is pretty stock. And so for a competition like this, where you're driving in every terrain manageable, like, imaginable, in all the different locations, it's just a tough thing. And to be able to do that with our stock vehicles is just a way to test this out, see how we do, and kind of give us real-time feedback on the capabilities of our vehicle.
Well, and the funny thing about it is, when Audrey was getting ready to go, she goes, well, here is just fire trails, so it's not going to be very challenging. And I just chuckled. I go, well, you know, we'll see. And I know it's way more than little dirt trails, right?
Absolutely. When this year I saw pictures of the course, and they were in areas where, especially because the first part of the rally, they had some terrible weather. It was drenching, torrential rain on them. So they had a lot of mud.
Right.
And then I saw they had gale force winds at like 60 to 70 miles per hour. So they were just winds. They had no visibility driving on these courses. And then, you know, you get into some locations where it's, you know, you're in rocks or you're in extremely steep terrains where it's very, very technical. I talked to Emily Miller earlier this week, and she said, you know, that they've passed it, but this area is a super, super technical drive. You've got to be right on it, really smart about the lines you're taking. And it definitely tests the driver's capabilities and their thoughts on, like, what route they're going to take and how they're going to take their vehicle through it. Because you really want to take care of your vehicle. It's an endurance challenge just as much as it is, you know, a driving challenge.
Right, right. No, I think it's wonderful. I couldn't be more supportive. I was trying to get a hold of Emily, but then I thought, nah, that's not going to work. I was going to say, because they're in Glamis, and most of them are going to drive their vehicles back to wherever they came from, or at least to some area to transport them out. I was going to have them all come on KUSI TV Sunday, and then I thought, you know what? All they're going to want to do is go home, take a shower, and go to bed. So I think getting them there at 7 o'clock in the morning would not be a user-friendly idea, but I am definitely going to highlight anybody in the area, give them some television, and give back to the sponsors that helped get there. You know, Ford, you know, putting three vehicles in the race. I mean, especially right now where product is a little hard to come by. You know, that was a commitment, but, you know, it's typical of Ford. You know, you guys are great about doing that. So are you going to go back and do this again next year?
You know, we'll see. Me personally, you know, I'd love to do it again. I think for Ford, this is something that we believe in. We love the support of it. I think it's a super hard, challenging rally, but it just so happens to be an all-women's event. You know, and that's how Emily Miller talks about it. Like, it's not like a cruise, you know, like, so you're not just cruising along here. You're pushed to the limit. And I love that it just so happens to be an all-women's event. And these women, I have to say, every single one of them that I met last year and the ones that are competing this year and every year going forward have been they're just dedicated and just badass women out there. Just,
you
know, everything about their vehicle. If it breaks down, they know how to fix it. I mean, these women are just, they're the real deal. And I love this competition.
Yeah, I do too. Well, again, go to the Rebel Rally website, folks. You can click on it. You can see the map. There's a list of all the drivers. And now I just found out that you can look at the results at the end of the day to see where your favorite driver showed up. And, if you do see videos, you're not going to be able to tell the vehicles apart because they're all tan. And it's because of the dirt. There's no colors. Every vehicle seems like it's the same color. It's funny.
Yeah, it's so funny to see the start of the rally to the end. At the end, it's completely caked in the mud and the sand and the dirt, which is how it should be.
Well, I'm curious to see how the Volkswagen ID.4 did. Because that's, talk about it. I mean, it's challenging enough with a gas-powered vehicle, but by doing it all electric, that,
yeah.
Of course, I know you guys are watching that because who knows, maybe the Mach-E will show up next year. Stranger things.
But definitely keeping an eye on what's going on with the electric teams. There's a few of them. The Rivian right now is, which is with Emmy Hall and Rebecca Donahue. This their second year competing in a Rivian, and they are currently in second place. So there's a competition going on there, and I believe that the first place team, Nina Barlow and Terlin Petterit, I think they're in a Jeep Wrangler.
Right.
I think all electric as well. So kind of interesting to see how this is turning out. But it's definitely cool because that the rally is looking to the future and kind of seeing what else, you know, how do we continue to think about how things are changing. So we'll keep an eye on all that stuff. Who knows? As our portfolio in general continues to change with the time, maybe one day we'll see something at the Rebel.
Well, if Emmy Miller runs out of Diet Dr. Pepper, then you guys will probably win it. But if she doesn't, that's going to be a tough one, girl. All right,
I
Joe
know.
Mina. I know. Thank you very, very much for taking time out of your day. I know I messed up Friday, but I am so happy to chat with you, and I'm really looking forward to the 2022 Rebel Rally. I think it's going to be on the map, and people are going to love it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me.
All right, kiddo. Take care.
It's TORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170. The Answers. This segment is brought to you by San Diego Off-Road Magazine. Go to www.ssorm.com for all your updated news on what's going on off-road. Nobody does it better. Steve and Sherry have been doing this since 1982. Ed even throws a couple of articles in there every issue. But if anything and everything you want to know about the off-road community, it's there. Whether you're buying an off-road vehicle or selling an off-road vehicle, you can't get any closer to the community than SSORM.com. Check them out. Also, if you got Bugs, K&J, Termite and Pest Control, big off-road family, and they've been doing this bug chasing for 45 years. They support the off-road community, but they're also very family and health-oriented, and they want you to be in a nice, clean environment. So all you have to do is call them, 619-441-7378, 619-441-7378. Let them come out to your house. They'll take a look, give you a quote, put you on a maintenance program, and you won't have to deal with bugs anymore. Ed Stovin and I have been sort of rolling together today. Audrey and Nicole decided to take today off, so hopefully they'll be back next week. You've got more paperwork out, so what were some of the things you found out while we took a break?
So I was watching a video on the red sticker program ending.
And just for people that don't know what the red sticker program is.
Oh, yeah. That's red stickers are a vehicle registration for off-road vehicles, mostly motorcycles, that emit too much emissions, and they are not compliant for the green sticker. The Air Resources people are ending that program, and there's a lot of off-roaders, a lot of motorcycle people are pretty upset.
Well, wouldn't the motorcycle industry be upset too?
They're very upset, yeah.
Yeah. They have why they can't make a clean race bike.
Well, the same reason anyone else can't, because if you wanted to be the best, the fastest, the lightest, the most reliable,
yeah,
you don't worry so much about emissions.
Right.
There are ways to make vehicles very clean, quiet, and fast.
Mm-hmm.
Ducati has a street bike that's clean and quiet and makes 210 horsepower, and that's a sub 400-pound motorcycle.
Right.
So it can be
done. So it can be done.
And the manufacturers have not had an incentive to, because riders get the red sticker.
Sure.
And
now
everybody's
they may
happy,
rethink that.
But now, oh, they are definitely back at the drawing boards. And here's the problem with this is that the to get the emissions clean. So a few years ago, I went to the Air Resources facility in El Monte, and I watched them test some motorcycles, and I walked around with the staff, and they showed me everything they do there. And I also met with a guy who's kind of like me, an advocate, but he's a sound and emission specialist. Mm-hmm. We had a good conversation. And he says that the typical 450 motocross bike is not that far away from being clean as a green sticker.
Mm-hmm.
The two strokes are really far away. They're like so far, they'll never make it.
See, I thought the two strokes were gone as it was.
Well, they don't...
For street bikes, they're gone.
They're long gone. The last street bike would be 1985.
But for racing...
But for racing dirt bikes, you can still go out and buy a two-stroke right now.
Right,
you go,
they gave,
go buy your YZ250.
So they gave the industry...
But you can't ride it on public land.
They gave the industry an opportunity to
continue.
They
gave them years to figure out how to make clean motorcycles, and instead they just continue to make dirty motorcycles. And so the Air Resource people said, that's enough. Like a typical racing 450 is not that far away emissions-wise. And so what we're thinking they're going to do is they're going to put a catalytic converter either in the cylinder head or in the exhaust, and they'll be able to run well and still be clean. We think that's what can happen. What we also think may well happen is that riders will take them off.
Well, same thing with a Harley Davidson.
Don't get
pipes.
Me started on that.
Well, loud pipes on a Harley are illegal. Even if you buy them at the dealer and you buy the pipes off the shelf at the Harley dealer, they're illegal.
I'm nodding my head. Yes.
Yeah.
You're right. They're illegal and they get away with it.
Yeah,
it makes
see,
me crazy how
it,
loud those bikes are.
But see, here's my whole thing.
And they break
both.
Two laws. They break emissions and they break sound laws.
Okay, so you've ridden both bikes. You've ridden the legal and you've ridden an illegal, right?
Well, a racing bike.
Well,
and a clean
and a clean street bike.
Yeah, like so. My
difference in performance?
So I have an FE 501 Husqvarna.
Okay.
It's 510 cc's.
Legal.
It's clean and quiet. I haven't changed anything on the drivetrain.
All right.
I also have a FC 450. That's a Husqvarna 450 cc motocross bike.
Right.
My Husky's substantially faster.
Okay. I agree. It's faster. But when you really look at apples and oranges or apples and apples, if that bike was gone and you had to race the legal bike...
If I had to race that bike against other legal bikes, I mean, it'd be
you'd
fine.
Be competitive.
It'd be competitive.
You'd be competitive. So, I kind of, you know, here's my attitude, and I'm a hard. I love motorcycles just as much as you do. If I was Honda, Kawasaki, Husqvarna, and all the rest of them, and the government said, you keep messing around making dirty bikes, we're just going to eliminate them. And you're not going to have them anymore. So either put your R&D. Into a street bike that's legal, that's quiet, or we're going to eliminate you. So I don't know why.
So the green sticker allows more emissions than the street legal. Like street legal is 0.8 grams of hydrocarbon per kilometer driven.
Okay.
And the green sticker is 1.2 grams. So it's like 50% more.
That's kind of odd.
Well, because... They figure that off-road vehicles don't get used as much. They're more for recreation.
Right.
Right. They're not, people aren't driving to work every day.
Right.
Filling the freeways and stuff. So they get an allowance. I believe the manufacturers are going to make clean dirt bikes. Now, here's the thing. Like, there's 50 states in the United States, and then there's the rest of the world.
Yeah, of course.
So do we make a motorcycle that's California compliant, and the rest of the world is kind of suffering a little bit?
That's what we did with cars.
Or do we just write off California and make what everybody else in the world wants and can have?
Okay, so let me throw a monkey wrench into this whole thing.
That's a difficult
I wish we had more than 5 minutes, but I'm going to throw a monkey wrench.
Please do.
And if you have not ridden this bike, I'm going to set it up to where you can.
Oh, now I'm excited.
It's a zero.
You know,
Have you ridden it?
I've never ridden one. I drag raced one.
Okay.
I was on my DR650, which is not a fast bike.
And you lost.
I got my ass kicked.
You got it handed it to you.
That thing was fast.
Well, let me tell you about the Zero. I've been involved with Zero since its inception. When they first came out, it was a modified mountain bike. Okay. Parts were hand custom made. And then Eric Buell.
Eric
Buell.
He came
to Zero. They hired him away from Harley Davidson after Harley Davidson wouldn't support the Buell program anymore. He went there and he took the Zero and made it a real off-road bike. So I'm going to set it up next week or whenever you have some time, and I'm going to hook you up with an electric Zero. You can plug it in at your house. You don't need a 220 charger. And I want you to take that bike out, and I want you to put it
in like street legal dirt bike or pure dirt bike.
Whatever you want, it's the same bike. That's the beauty of it. It's got all the right suspension. It's got everything you could need to go off road, go climb, torque out the wazoo.
Yeah,
you're never going to get stuck in a ditch. You're never going to get stuck in a ravine. So I will hook you up and put you on a Zero.
That's exciting.
And then, you know, and then I'll have you keep it for a week. And then what we'll do is we'll do a review on it, on that bike. I'm telling you,
fascinated.
Dude, I loved that bike. And it's got regenerative braking. So here's the kicker.
What?
You adjust the braking. And when you go into it, like I put it on full power, full regen. So that when I went into a turn, hammering it, all I did is let off of the accelerator and the computer braked the bike perfectly, front wheel to back wheel, perfectly.
Really?
With regenerative braking. I'm telling you.
And
dude.
Regen. Now, it's hard for me to imagine a computer doing better than me off-road because, like, we do things. Sometimes you use the rear brake to skid the back around.
Okay, that was a tease. So now I'm going to...
I'm really interested. I got to try this thing.
All right. Well, we're going to have to hit the dusty trail. That was SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Thanks, Ed. Great show today.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.
This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.